Welcome to the Association Simulation Series, the ASS podcast. I was trying to find something that could combine into ASS, Association Simulation what? The Association Simulation Series, the ASS. Welcome to the ASS. I am Darren Hupke. Should we actually do that? Should it be the ASS? Should I not? Should I not have us do that?
We can see how it goes. The ass. Right.
Yeah, you know what? If give us feedback. If you don't like the use of the inappropriate word ass in your NBA basketball video game hybrid podcast, shout us out and give us some feedback online. But I am Darren Hupke with my color commentary co-host Nick McConnell here. This is a fusion. Oh, go ahead, Nick. Sorry.
No, I was going to do color commentary. I was going to say, let's see. It's good. There it goes. That count. I've been practicing my color commentary. It's good from downtown.
Now we're just Tim Kitzrow. Yeah, welcome to the show. This is a fusion of Instruction Derby and Pixels and Polygons, just kind of mashed up to what the kids call a collab. I think they say that.
We could put a big X, like our logos, and then a gigantic X in between them. That's what the cool brands do when they collab.
Yeah, in Instruction Derby X Pixels and Polygons. But welcome to the show. What we want to do here is we're both basketball fans and we're both video game fans. I think that's fair to say. I can speak for you on that, right, Nick?
I think that seems reasonable.
Okay. So what we wanted to do was we wanted to bring to you just a short and sweet little podcast where we maybe break down our memories of an NBA season. Talk about what happened in the real world, but then run it through a simulation on a random basketball video game each episode. And just have some fun. So, you know, seeing if it lines up, seeing if the game will match reality, see if our predictions may come true, and see if maybe our favorite teams have a shot in the virtual world if they didn't in the real world. So if that sounds good, continue listening. Nick, what are your expectations on the next 48 minutes, or I don't know what the runtime is. But,
the next 48 minutes. You know, I'm going to be honest. My expectations are that my favorite team, the Golden State Warriors, in the 1999 to 2000 season, will not be winning the championship in either real life nor in our video game. So my expectations is that, I've got some thoughts. We can get into my expectations in a little bit.
Well, for today's episode, I was thinking... And I was thinking the best console that we could do a basketball video game about was also thinking, and that's the Sega Dreamcast. So we selected NBA 2K, the initial and premier basketball video game by Visual Concepts and Sega for the Sega Dreamcast. Originally released $11.99, not $99.99. It was not a launch title, but it was not long after that. What do you remember about NBA 2K, Nick?
This is, you know, at the time, I didn't play a ton of sports games outside of like NBA Jam and was Blitz around at this point, you know, like those kinds of games, the arcadey things. But I wasn't super into realistic simulation sports games until the Dreamcast came out. And until apparently 11/11/99, when I went over to my cousin's house who had a Dreamcast and we played NBA 2K, all night long. It was just endless NBA 2K, and I was sold and hooked. I had never seen anything that looked so real, is how it felt. I had never played anything that felt like I was really good, like really technically good whenever I could hit a layup in the game. And it was just dope. I don't know. It was awesome. It was like the promise of video game sports had finally come true. I was also proud because I was growing up in Marin County at the time in California, and Visual Concepts, I believe, was out of Novato. And that is something that I remember being very proud of as well. Just some local folks making this very cool video game.
I didn't know that they were local there to that area. I have no idea where Visual Concepts was.
I could be totally wrong. I have reasons for believing this, which we can get into when we talk a little bit more about the game too. There are some clues from the voiceover crew.
Mm. Okay. Well, the game itself, yeah, Visual Concepts for 2K, they actually had previous experience developing basketball games before this. They did a game, and this is called prep work, and this is something I didn't do. but they did a game on the PlayStation, NBA Action or something like that, but it was developed by Visual Concepts, and they essentially did the same game for the Saturn, but released it under a different name, but it was also a NBA licensed basketball game for the Saturn, but just with a different title. I don't know how or why, you know, but so they had already been previously making basketball games. I did play this, you know, not too long after launch, and my friends and I like loved this game. We had been I'd been playing NBA simulation ish games, you know, since like the NBA Live, like 96, 97, like on Genesis and whatnot. And I remember, I think the NBA Live 97 was the first one that featured a create a player mode, and like that to me was like the coolest thing. I was like, oh, I'm gonna be in the game, and I'm gonna be able to play as me. And so I remember being like a fan of basketball games like from that point forward and everything. But this just took it to like a whole visual like new level for me, just like being fully 3D and rendered, and like, you know, I remember it playing and feeling smooth and exciting. And I remember the when we created players, we created a center. It was a maximum height and maximum weight, just to be as a big of a body as possible. And like the alley-oop system, I believe in this initial 2K, they know they changed it in later games, but to alley-oop in this game, you tapped like the left trigger and you flicked the analog stick like simultaneously. It was like a really like quick twitch gesture, like super simple to do, but this big dude was always down in the paint and you just, you know, flicked it and boom, you throw a lob, and almost every time you'd get it. And if not, you'd get a foul. And we just remember us breaking the game and just dominating everybody we would play just because of how broken that system was. But, I loved it. I enjoyed this game. 2K is a fantastic game.
2K is a fantastic game. I love that era of sports games. And I guess like games in general where the things, maybe some of the rough edges hadn't been fully sanded down and fixed, and things were maybe a little bit broken, where you kind of had to come up with, you're playing with friends and you kind of have to come up with like handshake rules, not to do certain moves, not to do certain things. That's kind of a fun way to approach it. But this game was great. This is from an era of 3D or kind of early 3D sports stuff. NBA Courtside with Kobe Bryant was like this too, where I just got a kick out of pausing the game and then moving the camera around in the space while everyone was sort of frozen, like that show Out of This World. I don't know if you remember Out of This World.
Oh my gosh, that is a childhood favorite. Evie Ethel Garland, who can freeze time by sticking her fingers together. I remember that vividly to this day, and nobody else does.
Yeah. Nobody else does. That's right. That's actually what this show is about, is about Out of This World. Every time she froze time, like someone was pouring a big like carafe of lemonade, there was always some sort of action going on. But I would do that in the game and just sort of float around. And it always looked so cool that I was experiencing this 3D space in ways that I just did not know were possible. This game is so good. It's so good, man.
Yeah. If you like Out of This World and you want to continue reading a story similar to that, there's a comic book series called Sex Criminals. Careful when you Google it. Okay. But when the characters are in that refraction period, whatever post-orgasm, this is for the kids, this podcast.
Emily.
When they're in that state, time is frozen for them for, you know, a period of time, you know, moments while they're kind of in that state. And so for reasons within the story, they start to rob banks and all that stuff during that frozen period of time and whatnot. But it's a super good comic, like really well written, really great art and everything. But another great story where, you know, the character freezes time and has the ability to do unique things. But
that's awesome. Sex Criminals, huh? Okay. Yeah.
Matt Fraction and Chip Zdarsky, Image Comics. Go read it. Image Comics, local to your Bay Area folks, too, next to near Visual Concepts, probably.
Oh, I didn't know they were local. Very cool.
Okay. Well, so that's 2K. This game, while it was released in November of 99, this has rosters and is accurate to the start of the 99-2000 NBA season. So this season, if you're either a Lakers fan or you're a Lakers hater.
Yep. There's only one correct answer. I'm going to tell you there's one correct answer.
Okay, in three.
It's to be a hater.
Oh, I was going to say in three, let's reveal.
Oh, sorry. Oh, too late. Sorry.
I am a hater as well. Hashtag beat LA for life.
Get him.
Never, ever, ever. Unless it's the Clippers.
For anyone listening, Oh, yeah, the Clippers are okay. I was going to say, for anyone listening, I believe that's true for all the teams down in LA. But yeah, maybe the Clippers. It's maybe the Clippers I can give a little pass to.
Okay, only if it's like the Clippers versus the Lakers, then I would love definitely the Clippers every time. Always beat LA Lakers.
Easy money.
But yeah, so let's just kind of talk about some of the highlights of the 99-2000 season that we remember. I did pull some notes and some details that maybe are worth highlighting, but what's some high-level overview memories that you have of that year? What stood out to you then?
I was kind of just getting into it at that point in a meaningful way. I grew up liking basketball as a sport, as a concept. If it was on, I'd watch it and I'd enjoy it, but I never had too much of a fixation on it. I enjoyed it. It was the one sport that I really liked watching. My default team was obviously the Golden State Warriors, but that was a sad, sad life for many years and would continue to be for quite some time still. But it was that or the Hornets, the Charlotte Hornets. Mm. And the reason for that was because when I was a kid, they had Muggsy Bogues, and Muggsy Bogues was like the height of a child. So it was like, he's like me. This is fantastic. It was like, I was like 5 feet tall and I was like, great. I'm like 5 feet tall. We got Muggsy Bogues. I got the Ninja Turtles. They're all 5 feet tall. All my heroes. So that was what I did. But by the time this game came out, I was sort of starting to slip a little bit more into it, but I was in that Golden State Warriors phase where I didn't know that good things were possible. I believe that this was not too long after the Sprewell incident. I think we started the season with God, what was the coach's name?
PJ Carlissimo.
We got Carlissimo, and then we went over to what is his name? Something Saint. What is his name? Oh, the saintly one is what they call him on Warriors broadcast. Anyway, not a super successful coach. So I believe we started the season 6-21 is what I remember reading. So that's sort of where I was at, looking for any opportunity to create a different world of basketball that video games could maybe provide.
6-21, they started the season. Wow,
I believe they did. They were pretty bad that year.
the final. I have the final standings in front of me, and if you just tripled that. That is what they finished at. They were 19-63 to end the season. They stunk. They were 48 games out of first place that in the Western Conference. So I don't think
there's a striking distance. I'll say, as a Warriors fan, when I hear that, I hear 19, I'm like, well, there's a lot of really good moral victories in there, though. so many good comebacks from way down that almost worked. Oh, that's the Warriors life.
Yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, I was a Knicks fan, so I was a couple years into being an NBA fan. Okay. I do remember watching the that second Bulls three-peat happening in real time. Like I grew up as a child, I had like Bulls like jackets and t-shirts and stuff my parents would buy just because Michael Jordan was huge. I remember that was like my first like quote unquote team, but I never really picked them. But at school, once kids started talking about basketball and everything, I decided to go home and flip through basketball cards because everybody had basketball cards. Mm-hmm. And flip through some and just landed on a Patrick Ewing card and was like, you know what? This is going to be my favorite player, and he plays for the Knicks, so that's going to be my favorite team. And so from that moment forward, in that exact reasoning, I have been a Knicks fan for life since then. Random happenstance picking him and them. This season, the Knicks weren't bad. This was
they were good.
A decent run out of them. It was I do have it noted here. This was the last season that Ewing played for the Knicks. At the end of the year, he was traded to the Sonics in a 4-team deal, and he only played a year in Seattle. Where then he continued to play, did not retire, and went to the Magic. I think for a year and a half. So I really want to get a Ewing Sonics jersey and or a Ewing Magic jersey. Just to have it. Like, I really want these obscure, like, iconic players on like the wrong teams, like an Olajuwon Raptors jersey and like things like that like just don't belong.
That's exactly like a Shaq Celtics jersey. Yeah. You want that level of insanity. I love that. Yeah, when you get to those players and it's like their final couple of years and they're playing on a team with like a fan base that numbers in the hundreds, it's pretty intense.
Yeah. But yeah, this season was big if you were a Lakers fan, one of the worst people in the world. Yeah. They won the first title, I think, in their little three-peat they did here with the Shaq and Kobe era.
That is the one.
They dominated. Shaq was the league-leading scorer, and he was also the MVP. So it was just a big Lakers push.
Nightmare.
Also, additional notes. Fun Bay Area anecdote here as well. The 2000 NBA All-Star Game was held in Oakland, California.
That's right.
The West won 137-126. Tim Duncan and Shaq were co-MVPs. Shaq probably wasn't happy about that. And after a two-year absence, the dunk contest returned with Vince Carter winning probably the greatest dunk contest of all time, doing some of his ridiculous, you know, elbow deep into the rim. And
Vince Carter was so cool.
Yeah, he was fantastic. So cool. Yeah,
I will say the Warriors the hosting the All-Star game, that was when Chris Cohan, the owner at the time, much maligned and correctly maligned, got, I think, booed pretty viciously at the All-Star game as well, which he was salty about for many years after. But he could have avoided that fate if he had been good at anything.
Yeah. What's actually kind of crazy though is Vince Carter won that dunk contest. This may have been his rookie season. It may have been his second year, but he just retired like two or three seasons ago. Like he was on the Hawks and gave him after like just a stint with like the Mavericks as well. And like he played well into, you know, well past his prime and everything, but still kind of contributed as a little bit of a veteran presence and a decent amount of points per game. Like crazy that, you know, 99-2000 he was in the league and he had only recently has left playing basketball competitively.
That's such insane longevity. That's so cool. I think that's incredibly cool. I wouldn't have it in me. I'd have made my money and been out in like 5 years, be like, I'm not doing this to my knees anymore, but man, good on him.
Yeah.
The Hawks.
Yeah, those interesting Hawks jerseys. They've evolved so many different ways, you know, in these two decades. It's been crazy.
That's one thing that's been fun about looking at this game a little bit before doing this show is this game lands right in that era of maybe some of the absolute worst logo designs in all of sports. I think this is the era where they have like the really horrific Pistons jersey with the horse.
Yeah.
On it. Rough. Yeah, well, I kind of appreciate the 90s era. There's the Vancouver Grizzlies, right? I think are here at this point.
Loved that Grizzlies logo. Yeah, they're still
me
Vancouver.
Too. The colors.
Yeah.
It's great.
I am the Raptors. All this the ridiculous, like kid friendly, like, you know, like I was into it. I had a set of all, you know, whatever at the time, 28 NBA teams at the time. Pencils for in elementary school, and I had one of every single team, and it was like, you know, their name and logo was all over every one of them, and like, you know, I would use them very infrequently because I didn't want to have to sharpen them too much and like, you know, wear them down or anything, but all of those stupid 90s designs, like I was into it.
I love it. They're so bad.
Yeah. And then I think what last note I have. Oh, so 36-year-old Houston Rockets forward Charles Barkley suffered a devastating injury early in the season, but returned for one final game after he was, you know, quote unquote healed and retired.
Wow.
End of an era. The round mound of rebound would end his NBA playing season, but then go on to join Inside the NBA and TNT and Turner Sports. And
he's so good there. He's so good. I hope it's okay to say he's so good on that. It's great.
I absolutely love Barkley. I love Inside. I'm not as thrilled with Shaq, but I feel like he's found his place at least a little bit there. Yep. And I could do without him, but the Inside crew, and I'm so happy that is also continuing on in that little strange co ESPN Turner Sports deal to keep it alive. I'm happy.
Me too.
Let's rattle through the statistical leaders and maybe talk about some of the standings, but then we'll run the simulation through and see if these things match, and we'll speculate on maybe who we think. But the scoring leader for the season was Shaq. He 29.7 points per game as a center. That is insane.
That's insane. That's ridiculous.
A different era of basketball for sure, but like almost 30 points per game. None of it being from behind the arc, you know, like that's wild. And none of it coming from the free throw line either, you know. So
no,
he's
exactly.
just getting those points just inside, just banging it down, dunking on Chris Dudley and having a good time with it.
Dude, it would have been so awful to play against Shaq in his prime. Like, oh, I mean, yeah. I'm saying this as a 5'10" guy who's not good at basketball to begin with. But like, even if you are like an all-star player, just dealing with that guy right at the rim would just be a nightmare.
I mean, I hate him. Yes, but he was massive, but he still had like whatever reason that athleticism still. And like, yeah, he put on weight, you know, specifically like in his LA tenure, but he still managed to keep that spring in his step and everything. And, it was just, yeah, you couldn't compete with him, unfortunately.
He was like one of those, like, not to make this a baseball thing, but he was like one of those Pablo Sandoval guys. Pablo Sandoval was a third baseman, I think, for the Giants for a number of years. Like, just a guy who doesn't look like he's going to be able to move, but is the most athletic, nimble dude when he gets down to it. It's really insane to watch.
I love how baseball has positions that allow players to be very old and very unathletically aged out, but like, put him on first. He's gonna be great.
But he's good at this. He's incredible at this one thing. Yeah,
yeah. We need him to be bat third. Like, we gotta have him like help us lead off with some heavy hits. But obviously he can't run, so go ahead and put him on first.
It's so cool. It's so fun.
The rebounds per game, Dikembe Mutombo. 14.1 rebounds per game. And that is also a freakishly
that's
high number.
Pretty crazy.
Per game. That's the per game average, dude. Like, this is ripping them out of the sky. Like, that's insane.
That's bananas.
Assist leader was Jason Kidd of the Suns, 10.1 assists. Yeah. Fantastic. He ended up getting injured late in the year and unable to play for the Suns during the playoffs. And Kevin Johnson came out of retirement to, you know, the former Suns star point guard. Tried to help give it to him, give him the juice that they needed, but they lost to the Lakers in the second round.
Tough times.
Former Laker Eddie Jones was the steals leader on the Charlotte Hornets at this time, 2.6 steals per game. Alonzo Mourning, former Hornet, was the Heat at this time, led blocks per game, 3.72 blocks per game. Field goal percentage, Shaq was shooting a 57.574, 57% essentially from the field, all inside, which is crazy. A free throw leader, free throw percentage, a 0.95%, like essentially automatic from the line. That's like, that is a freak. That's a Steph Curry number. Like,
yes, it's better than, right?
Yeah, it is. I think Curry's career is maybe a 91 or 92, but he's had seasons in the high 90s like that. But that's a number right there.
Wild.
Jeff Hornacek. I remember, some commentators, you know, innocently would, you know, give him the nickname Horny. And like my friends and I would jokingly, like, you know, Horny with a hooker. Oh, he can't get it up. A phrase that could be said and also could be said and get you arrested.
That's why we're calling this the Ass Podcast, as you mentioned earlier in the show.
Yeah. And then 3-point field goal percentage, 0.491, almost 50% from three. Hubert Davis of the Dallas Mavericks. Can't put a face to this man's name. I'm sorry, no. Hubert Davis. I do not know who you are.
Do we know like on what how many shots he's doing on like what frequency?
No, I see. I didn't pull his numbers on that. This was just a little table
the leaders.
Of
no,
the
cool.
Yeah. But. Yeah, I would hope he's not, you know, he shot 10, you know, and made five.
he took two of them. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But I wonder who like really was a volume scorer there. I mean, because you still have like the Reggie Millers and the Glenn Rices and whatnot of the world, you know, jacking them up. But even then, they were shooting 200 to maybe 300 threes in a season, you know, not like what they're doing with the Stephs and the Clays, you know, who can just eclipse that, you know, in a single year or in a single month, you know.
I do like those stats where it's like this kind of impressive looking number, and then you look at it and it's like, oh right, it's on 10 threes or something like that. For a while, in when the Warriors were real bad again later, I think after, was it maybe right after We Believe, there was a stretch where Andres Biedrins, our much maligned I'm saying maligned a lot about the Warriors this episode, our center, was the shot percentage, made shot percentage leader, because he like only ever shot it when he was right there and it was handed to him, and it was on like a paltry number of shots, but man, did we run with that as a fandom. He was our guy.
Beatrice, that's funny.
Hundreds of Beedrons. We'll have to do a Beedrons episode at some point.
You had some fan favorite players of mine. You got him from the Knicks. Oh my gosh, why am I losing his name? He was like a double double machine. He was like
David Lee, dude.
Oh yeah, I love David Lee.
David Lee was like, we had Steph Curry sitting there, and Joe Lacob, the owner at that point, was like, David Lee, he's our all star. Get him in the all star game. I love David Lee, but it was like, we got Steph. What are we doing?
Yeah. Steph's little pregame warm-up ritual where he like runs and sprints towards the basketball stuff. He apparently came up with that. Him and David Lee came up with that together, and it was a friendship thing, and he still does it to this day, which is just an interesting thing. But David Lee,
that's cool.
R.I.P. He's still alive.
R.I.P. in terms of his basketball career, but yeah. he's still with us. He should come on the show.
Yeah. David Lee, you're welcome anytime. Yeah, MVP I already mentioned was Shaq, and Rookie of the Year, all that stuff. This game doesn't give us those awards. It doesn't tell us MVP or anything like that at all. We can see like the leading score and all that stuff, so we can compare that there. But yeah, this year the league leading team record wise was the Lakers. They were 67-15. The next best team was the Pacers, 56-26, and then the Jazz, 55-27. And there were some pretty tight teams from there. The Blazers were really good. I mean, the Knicks were 50-32. The Heat were 52-30. Your Golden State Warriors, as we mentioned, were 19-63. The Los Angeles Clippers. The Los Angeles Clippers were 15-67. They were the league's worst team. So the Staples Center, that was the first season that the Staples Center was used, and those two teams shared the court. And they had the league's best record and worst record. That's pretty cool.
Those Clippers tickets must have been so cheap. That must have been awesome. I would have loved to have gone to a Clippers game during this season.
One day I'd love to do a courtside basketball
game. Lamar Odom. Yeah.
Yeah. One day, maybe. Maybe. You know, if these 32-bit library books take off, y'all, go to pixelsandpolygons.net and buy your books today. The show sponsor.
They're good. They're good. I support this. They're very good.
Get me on the sidelines, y'all. Buy some books. All right, well, let's jump into the game. Thank you for listening to the pilot episode. We'll find a balance on, you know, what we spend on real life basketball versus the simulation basketball. But we're gonna run the simulation now. Again, knowing the Lakers won it all, knowing that Shaq was the MVP and the scoring leader, you know, knowing that Mutombo and Kidd with the rebounds and assists, who do you think is going to win it all in our simulation of this season? Do you think Visual Concepts programmed the players well enough to match and bring the Lakers a victory, or what do you think is going to happen here?
I'm looking at, and so the manual doesn't have any sort of specific details about the players or the teams themselves. So the manual doesn't give anything. I'm at a website called maddenratings.weebly.com/nba2kgame.html. So that seems legit. And they are telling me the overall ratings for each team. And so it's a little bit of cheating, maybe. I don't think they're going to give it to the Lakers. According to this, at the very least, the Lakers only have a 70 overall rating to start the season. Obviously, the game comes out, right? And then it's cooked, right? There's nothing you can do with it on a Dreamcast. So it's just going to be whatever stats they put in at the beginning. I'm actually going to go ahead and say that they're going to give it to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Okay.
With a backup being the 76ers, just because Allen Iverson is on the cover.
Okay. I was going to say, yeah, Allen Iverson is the cover athlete. Will they give him favorable statistics? I'm curious to know what that looks
like. For what it's worth, Allen Iverson has a 97 player rating.
I mean, he's the greatest of all time. So
in this game, that's right. That's right.
I do want to, and this may be a theme for the show, I want to pick the Knicks to win it all.
Let's do it.
They have a good shot this year. I mean, you know, they had a great team. Like, you know, through a simulation, like, you know, it's ones and zeros. You know, anything can happen. You know, maybe we'll give it to them. But if not them, then I wonder if they're gonna like push the Sixers over the top, you know, and go from there. So let's
just
see what happens.
Give them that little push.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, if we need to stretch, or if we have any time, I can tell you a little bit about the voiceover crew.
Yeah, tell us the voiceover. I'm going to simulate the entire season right now, and we'll look at the stats. But you go ahead while that's happening. You tell us.
Simulate that season. this is when I was talking about them being up in the Bay Area, Visual Concepts. Part of the reason for my belief about that, I think I did look it up at one point, but the voiceover crew, the announcers, they all use fake names, if I remember correctly. They don't use their actual real sports announcers, and they're using pseudonyms in this. They are listed in here. So the PA announcer is Dick Callahan, who is an announcer for the Oakland Athletics back when they were in Oakland, RIP. The play-by-play is Bob Fitzgerald, who is still the Warriors play-by-play guy. And much to the chagrin of I think many of us, Rod Brooks was the color announcer, who is also a radio guy here in the Bay Area. So you have like radio guy, Warriors guy, A's guy, all doing the voiceover for the in-arena stuff, which I thought was kind of cool. They should bring this back. I don't need to see real inside the NBA guys when I'm playing NBA 2K. I want to hear pretend people talk. Give them the freedom. Give them the flexibility to get creative.
I think that would be fun and cool to do. And you don't have to worry about like the awkward like lines. Because I'm pro reusing assets and things if it helps the teams develop them and all that stuff. You know, and part of the thing is when they have somebody come in and record so many lines as the commentator, if for whatever reason they lose that license with this person and they're gone. They can't continue to build on that voice worker, and then they have to bring somebody else in and eventually set them back. But if you have like this fake personality and you bring in a voice actor, like, you know, you can keep those lines going. You can maybe keep hiring this person year after year to add to it. And, you know, sure, this is just some strange way to like, you know, stretch developers' budgets and, you know, ways to use the game and all that stuff. But I would love to see just like the fun make believe of it. And you could have a fake, you know, UI and things that look like the real presentation, but you don't have to be limited to like licensed things.
Yeah, agreed. The verisimilitude is on the court. That's what matters.
Okay, well, season's done. Okay.
Okay.
We talked about the Lakers dominating things. I'm going to share with you the final standings here from the season. The Lakers finished 46-36.
Okay.
A 56% win percentage. We're fourth in the West. With that,
okay.
The Rockets and your Blazers here leading the West at a 51-31 record, according to this simulation. And we believe the Warriors have a chance here because at eighth in the West, at 39-43, the Warriors are making the playoffs.
They're so wrong. way off.
Yeah. So the Rockets. One, go. Blazers, two, Nuggets at 47-35, or three, Lakers 46-36 at four, Suns 42-40, barely over 500 at five,
okay, sure.
Spurs and Grizzlies at 500 at 41-41 for six and seven, and the Warriors 39-43 at the eighth seed.
The Spurs, because the Spurs had Duncan and Robinson, right? And this was like
Sean Elliott,
like. Yeah, well, wow. But wait, what did they wind up doing in real life that year? Am I just remembering like after? Like, I know they were bad for a couple of years there, but that's low for them.
Yeah, no, I agree. They made the playoffs in real life. Huh. I don't know what their record was. I mean, maybe I could look it up, but I have the record here. The Spurs were 53-29.
Yeah, way different, way off.
In real life, it was, you know, the Lakers, Jazz, Blazers, Spurs, Suns, Wolves, Sonics, Kings.
Wolves, yep. Okay.
Yeah, the Rockets were 34-48. I mean, this was like we said, Barkley's last year. They had Clyde, they had Olajuwon, they had the big three, but they were like the geriatric three. So it was a different thing. But this game doesn't believe in age, you know, age discrimination. They ran that Rockets team right into the playoffs.
That's right.
West or Eastern Conference. Let's take a look what we've got there. Oh, baby.
Ooh.
So
does that mean the Knicks are at the top?
No, the Knicks are second, 47-35. A tied record with the Nets at 47-35. But the number one Eastern Conference team, again, real life, we had the Pacers, Heat, and Knicks in the top three. But the Charlotte Hornets are the number one seed in the East.
Hell yes. Now we're talking.
That's wild.
That's Del Curry just went off. Yeah. He must have just gone off in this season. Was this Baron Davis Hornets too?
I think rookie season Davis potentially. Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe not rookie season. Wait, I take that back. He could have been in the league for
young,
a couple years.
Young BD. Yeah. Oh, man, that's why. The magic was clear. The magic was clear from the jump.
Yeah, the Sixers, in real life, the Sixers, Raptors, Pistons, and Bucks rounded out the playoffs. The Sixers being 49 and 33, almost a 60% win percentage. The Sixers did not make the playoffs in our simulation. They did not give Al Iverson that cover athlete bump.
Jeez.
It is Hornets, Knicks, Nets, Raptors, Pistons, Heat, Bucks, Cavaliers. Mm. That's eight, right? Yep, that is eight. Okay. So the Wizards obviously did not make it in real life. Who do they have egregiously out of whack here? I mean, the worst team in the East was a 35-win team, Hawks. Whereas in the real life, the Bulls were the worst team at the 17 and 65. Yeah, so oh no, here's the Bulls, 32. So the Bulls were still the worst, but they definitely doubled their win total here, giving them
more
favorable. So yeah, a lot more teams lost more. You know, maybe there's some close games here in this simulation, but interesting dynamic there. This does have all-stars. Interesting. Okay, so and it gives me votes. Well, let me just share a couple of these random ones. The leading vote point guard in the East, Tim Hardaway.
Okay,
I don't know about that. Shooting guard,
I'll take it.
Yeah, shooting guard, leading vote getter, Allen Iverson, with Reggie Miller right behind him. Small forward, we had Grant Hill and Keith Van Horn. Van Horn, again, at second, was, what is this, in the millions of votes? Yeah, these are like 3 million votes. He had less than 2 million votes at number two there. So Grant Hill ran away as the leading small forward.
Way, way behind.
And power forward, Jason Williams, I believe, on the Nets.
Okay, yeah.
Am I correct in believing, wasn't this the man who came out after he retired? Or is this a different Jason Williams?
I think it might have been, yes. I think it might have been, because his brother was an assistant coach on the, I keep bringing it back to the Warriors, on the Warriors. Yes, I believe so.
I don't want to out him if he's not actually out or anything, but there was a player who did play for the Nets, and I believe he did. He came out after he retired.
Yeah.
Jason Williams was number one leading vote getter in a pride-centric way. He must have come out during the season and rallied behind the United States, just, you know, being completely different. This was a very positive and proactive and progressive America here in the virtual 99-2000 season. Rallied behind him to get him a starting spot in the All-Star game. Centers, Alonzo Mourning and Dikembe Mutombo, all about 3 million votes. Pat Ewing, third best vote getter, just a little over 2 million. So sad Pat ain't going to the All-Star game. In the West, leading vote getter by far, this is the number one vote getter of the entire league, Jason Kidd, with Gary Payton at 3.8 million behind him for point guards.
Man. That makes sense.
Yeah. Shooting guard. Wow. This is another high vote getter. The second highest. Anthony Hardaway on the Suns with Jason Kidd got nearly 4 million votes himself.
Wow.
Kobe was second with 2.5 million votes. And Rex Chapman on the Suns was third in shooting guards.
All right.
So, okay. The Suns are getting a push.
Isn't like Rex Chapman really active on Twitter, or he used to be? He was like a really active like tweet guy.
I thought that was some kind of parody account using his name and just posting those things, but that is just straight up Rex Chapman.
Actually, him.
Social media clout.
That's so funny.
Scott Pippen on the Blazers got 3.6 million votes from small forward position. Kevin Garnett 3.2. Sean Marion on the Suns at 2.2. Wow, that's a young Sean Marion getting that too. I'll take that. Power forwards, you got a good old Karl Malone, everyone's least favorite power forward, 3.8 million votes. Chris Webber coming up the rear. Coming up Karl Malone's rear is Chris Webber at 3.5 million votes. And Akeem the Dream Olajuwon, third most vote getter, somehow at 3.9 million votes, with Shaq chasing him at 3.2 million votes as the centers for the All-Star game. That's hard to believe. Shaq was the MVP in real life, and potentially if they pick, you know, other position players or other like power forwards to and only have maybe one center on the All-Star team, he may not even make the All-Star team in this virtual world.
Shaq NBA, maybe. I mean, listen, this again, this is a basketball game developed by people in the Bay Area. Maybe they were doing the morally correct thing and sandbagging the Lakers.
Yeah. And we'll real quickly go through the statistical leaders and then get into the playoffs. Iverson was a scoring leader at 22 points a game, which is wild because Shaq scored 29.7 points per game in real life. So, and I made sure to set the simulation minutes to 12 minutes a game. So this is just a high defense, low scoring affair, apparently. Shaq, I will tell you, averaged 17.5 points, way down maybe the 20th place in the season.
Okay.
Does not match that at all. Assist leader, Stephon Marbury of the Nets, 10.7. Jay Kidd at 10.1. That's cool, I think, because that's accurate to... He exactly had 10.1 in real life, so...
That's pretty impressive. That's pretty cool.
Steals per game, Reggie Miller at 3.3. Eddie Jones had 2.9 in the game, so a little off from his real life numbers. They, for some reason, don't have combined rebounds. They only have separated offensive and defensive. And Mutombo had 5.3 offensive rebounds and 5.2 defensive rebounds. So this game stole 4 rebounds a game from Mutombo compared to his real life statistics. Blocks, Morning, 4.6 blocks a game. So, yeah, he was the leader in real life, but not with 4.6. He had 3.7. And, 3-point percentage. Well, look at 3 points attempted. Reggie Miller, 303 attempted. Huh. Ray Allen on the Bucks, Bashawn Leonard on the Heat, and Lindsey Hunter on the Pistons with high 200s.
God, that's so little. That's so infrequent given where things are at now. That's crazy.
Reggie Miller shot 50.4% from three.
Jesus.
The leading, if I'm going to look at somebody who's above 200%, above 200 attempts, the highest percentage, Allen Iverson shot 52.1% from three. Insane. That's not real.
He could ridiculous. Not shoot
52% from three. Crazy. Okay. Well, those are the stats. So... It's fun.
We did it.
Fun to see how that worked out. Let's go ahead and simulate.
That's cool.
Simulate the playoffs.
Let's do it.
I'm running through. I have to simulate each day manually.
And this is I'm doing the music. Just keep going up from there. I don't know.
Okay, I'm in the conference finals, and the teams in the finals right now, according to this playoff tree, Knicks versus Lakers. How did the Lakers
really?
The Lakers and Blazers went to Game 7 just like they did in real life in the Western Conference Finals. Wow. The Rockets took the Lakers to 7 games in the second round. And the Lakers beat the Suns 3-1 in the first round. The Blazers swept the Spurs. The Blazers went 7 games against the Nuggets. And Lakers got in there. The Hornets swept the Wizards. The Hornets went 4-2 against the Raptors. And then the Knicks swept the Hornets in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Ouch.
The Knicks
the Baron Davis magic could only take them so far.
The Knicks went 3-2 against the Heat. It was a 5-game series in this season. So they went the distance with the Heat in the first round, but then went 4-1 in round two, swept the Hornets in round three, and here we go to start the finals. Knicks, Lakers, simulate away. The Knicks have the home court advantage, mind you.
This had better go for the Knicks. I'm a Knicks fan now.
Oh my lord, 4-2. The Knicks are the 99-2000 NBA champions. What happens from here? Ewing retires. He does not decide to stick it out longer and go to the Supersonics. the future changes. This butterfly effect that would happen because of this would be insane.
Kobe and Shaq quit. They just quit basketball altogether. That was my dream. They quit basketball altogether, and we never have to hear from either of them ever again. That's a good thing. That's positive. somehow the Warriors become the winningest team of all time right afterwards. I like this future. This is what's happening.
Yeah, really strange follow-up season. Yeah, Warriors just completely strange just ice it out and just dominate right follow-up that season. That's crazy.
Knicks, congrats. This is great. This is a good day for you, Darren.
It is. I mean, my virtual Knicks. So in my lifetime, I've never seen the Knicks win anything. But in the first pilot episode of our association simulation series, the New York Knickerbockers are NBA champions. I feel excitement. I feel elated. I mean, I can't believe I'm a winner.
This is good. You are a winner. And the Knicks just brought it home. And NBA 2K on the Sega Dreamcast proved once again to be one of the best things going. They knew it was good. They're not going to give the NBA 2K. The developers aren't going to give this over to the Lakers. They're going to give it to a good team full of good people, the New York Knicks.
It's interesting that they barely got the Lakers, you know, middle of the pack team and everything, but they still ran it through to the finals, you know, even recreated the Western Conference Finals accurately. Technically, the Knicks did make the Eastern Conference Finals, but they lost to the Pacers. And then the Pacers played the Lakers. Wow. Okay. Well, that was 99-2000.
Can you imagine the ratings on a Knicks-Lakers final? Like, that would be gangbusters.
Yeah. It wouldn't be the Thunder versus...
oh, my God.
Who'd they even play? This just happened.
Was it the Pacers? No, that's impossible. That's not how it works.
No, it was. It was the Pacers.
It was. That's right. Yeah, wow. Man, What a fantastic finals.
Thunder. Just the small market, middle America.
No thanks.
Unexcited. I didn't watch a single game.
I just was like, I don't like either of these teams. I don't want anything to do with any of them. I'm out of here. It's too bad. I usually love the finals no matter who's in it, but I just could not hold on to anything.
I didn't mind the Thunder winning it, but I just was not excited to watch the Pacers play. Like, they just barely got in there. I'm not a big Halliburton guy. It was just, you know, and knowing that the Knicks did have a chance there. What's crazy is Rick Brunson, Jalen Brunson's father, was on that 99-2000 team. He's now
got a
ring.
Is that the same? Oh my God. That's the same. That's his dad. I didn't realize. I saw Brunson on there and I was like, oh my God. I didn't realize. Okay. Well, congrats to the Brunsons.
Yeah, Charlie Ward, Heisman Trophy winner in college as a quarterback, but now starting point guard for the Knicks in this season. Likely what happened is he got injured in the playoffs, and Rick Brunson comes and demonstrates that Brunson ball, you know, and the Knicks just ran that through the playoffs, and turns out they're going to wait till his son grows up to repeat it all for them again in 25 years.
Do you think that if Rick Brunson wins the NBA championship in this season, that Jalen Brunson is not born? Is that what's the butterfly effect on that one?
Well, I think he technically already was born.
Oh.
At this time, technically.
Well, I guess that answers that question.
He dies in a childhood accident, then, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yes, that's right. A tragic accident. It's terrible. The things that happen after NBA 2K gets a run on the Sega Dreamcast, lots of changes occur.
It's like the Madden curse. It's just a little bit different.
Don't win. On the association.
All right. Well, this collab, I think was successful. I feel successful.
I had fun.
Let's plug it up. plug it up.
Let's not do that.
Careful. But with the ass podcast, we don't want to plug it up too much.
We're gonna plug it up.
Where can we when we're not listening to the ass podcast, Nick? Where can we listen to you? Where can we find you?
When you're not listening to the Ass Podcast, you should fix that and go back and listen, even if you already heard the episode. But if you are truly not going to, I'm over on, well, I guess I'm on Blue Sky, probably too much for my own mental health, but I'm on Blue Sky, McConnell.bluesky.social, I think.
Yeah.
Or I also do Instruction Derby, where we read video game manuals once a week, ideally, and just enjoy how much fun they are and how much cool stuff is in there. That's Wednesdays at noon Pacific. I won't bother you with the link right here, but that's me.
I'll put the link in the show notes over on Twitch. And you can listen to me in this very podcast feed you're listening to this on, actually. I think this is going to technically live as, you know, a little bonus spinoff of Pixels and Polygons.
Perfect.
Depending on, you know, how our merch sales do, gangbusters and whatnot, you know, it might be able to spin off and we can afford its own feed. But we'll go from there. I don't think we committed to a time frame for this, maybe once a month, you know, but we'll just do it as a little spinoff bonus thing for everyone to have. That'll continue the collab. And is it collab or collab? Or
I think when you want to sound cool, you say collab, like you say, like you put it like an emphasis on it. Like we're going to collab, but it's collab,
like collaborate,
collaborate. Yeah. We're going to collaborate on some more episodes of the podcast.
That's what's going to happen. So thanks for all for joining. We'll pick a different system, different year, and run it through the ass machine.
Run it through the ass machine.
That's right. Hope you all enjoy that.
We'll plug it up.
We'll plug up the ass machine. Plug it up the ass machine. Oh, that's a t-shirt. We're gonna have a good t-shirt. We're gonna have good merchandise. This is gonna be fun. But thanks everybody for listening. Enjoy whatever day of the week we decide to release these things on, and have fun. Bye, Nick.
Bye. Thank you.
Listen to Flashback 64, the chronological Nintendo 64 podcast. Hosts Gooey, McKenna, and friends flashback to the 90s and early 2000s with a look at the Nintendo 64's catalog and its contemporary, cultural, and historical context. Starting with the console's launch titles and proceeding in release order, we discuss classics like GoldenEye, Super Mario 64, and Star Fox 64, as well as some not-so-beloved games, lesser-known titles, and everything in between. Along with game-specific deep dives, we also cover other bits of pop culture from the time, like films, music, and more. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.